studies it. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. 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 Today I'm going to be talking about only in Yeshua can we find true freedom. You know, this coming Wednesday is the 4th of July, also known as Independence Day. It's when this nation broke from Great Britain, became an independent nation, and we got our freedom, no longer under the tyranny of evil King George and the British Army and all of that. We were free. But the freedom that we have in the physical really only comes... That's cool.
You're welcome.
In Yeshua the Messiah. I want to start off with some interesting little funny things. We all like funny things? Okay. Someone wrote these very interesting words entitled, Only in America. Okay? Only in America, this is the first one, can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Isn't that true? Who was just telling us about that during the prayer this morning? 45 minutes. I bet if you ordered a pizza, it'd have been there in 30 minutes, probably. Only in America are there handicapped parking spaces in front of the skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes up at the front. Only in America, huh? Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put all the junk in the garage. Yeah? Only in America do we use answering machines to screen the calls and have call waiting so we don't miss a call from someone we really don't want to talk to in the first place. And lastly, only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and the buns come in packages of 8. Isn't that terrible? You ever notice that? You always have more hot dogs than buns. It's some kind of a gimmick, isn't it? Got to buy 2 packages of buns. Then you have all the buns left over and no hot dogs for them. But also, someone also wrote these words entitled, The Sadness of America. Firstly, it says, the paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. Only in America, the sadness of America, we spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy less. How about we have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences, but a lot less time? Sadness of America. We have more degrees, but less sense, more knowledge, but less judgment, more experts, yet more problems, more medicine, but less wellness. Sadness of America, we drink too much, we smoke too much, spend too much recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. Again, sadness of America, we've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to those years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. Now, is this speaking to any of you here? We've done larger things, but not better things. Sadness of America, we've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but we learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. You know, I'm sure we all can add many more things to that. You know, in America, we've forgotten even how to write. We forgot how to communicate with one another. We hardly call anybody or visit anybody to check. All we do is send text messages, mostly while we're driving. Next Wednesday, on the 4th of July, we're going to celebrate our nation's 242nd birthday. It's almost 2.5 centuries ago that the United States was born. A nation based on the idea of liberty, responsibility, godliness, and the freedom to become what God intended us to become. And that was a new and revolutionary idea. And the celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom, isn't it? Freedom. We celebrate that precious gift of freedom we have because of the price that others paid. However, we need to remember that freedom isn't free. Freedom is very expensive. It has cost some people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free, but it's infinitely valuable. You know, the idea of freedom is an idea that our founding fathers believed was valuable enough to risk everything they had on. They risked their fortunes, their families, their reputations. They risked their honor. They risked their very lives, and many of them paid for our freedom with their blood and the blood of their children. So today, as we worship in security and we worship in comfort, we do so because thousands of young men have given their lives and shed their blood on foreign soil. They died in forsaken places with names not remembered so that we could experience the joy and the responsibility of freedom. In a letter to William Smith that was dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and the blood of tyrants." No freedom. No freedom is not free at all. The price is always paid in blood. And the blood that was spilled on battlefields called Concord and Charleston and Yorktown was not the first time that blood was spilled for freedom. No, it wasn't. 2,000 years ago, a young man's blood was spilled upon the ground so that we could all experience eternal freedom. Yeshua came in order to bring us freedom from a host of human maladies, sicknesses, diseases. As followers of the Messiah, we believe that Yeshua is the Son of God. In John chapter 8, verse 34 through verse 36, Yeshua said, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's where we get our freedom. Not from man-made laws, not from constitutions, not from proclamations. We get our freedom from Yeshua, a freedom that will give us eternal life and a place someday with our Heavenly Father. Later on, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote these words regarding the work of Yeshua and setting us free. And he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death." And this coming week, again, we'll be celebrating our independence from tyranny and bondage to an oppressive government. Independence that was won almost 2.5 centuries ago. We celebrate independence as a nation, but that is temporary. A day will come where we'll no longer enjoy the freedoms that we have. Nonetheless, we celebrate our independence. But shouldn't we daily, every single day, shouldn't we celebrate our independence from the tyranny and the bondage of guilt? And sin, and fear, and death. Independence that was won not 250 years ago, but independence that was won 2,000 years ago on that cross. Shouldn't we celebrate and discover the depths of our independence that will last for all eternity? If you want to truly be free, free from all that has tied your life down and buried you under a mountainous weight of fear and guilt, then this message is for you today. For you here today. Today we're going to explore here three ways, or three of the ways that Yeshua has set us free, if only we have the faith to believe Him and to trust in Him. First, freedom from guilt. That's a tough one. Do you ever feel under bondage because of something you've done in your life? You have that guilt in your life? Have you been dragging your past around with you everywhere you go? You've done things in the past where you've hurt other people, and maybe others have hurt you. You failed miserably in the past in areas. You failed maybe at your marriage. You failed at being a good parent. You failed financially because of your irresponsibility. You failed at your walk with the Lord because maybe you felt it was just too hard to keep all those rules that you needed to keep, all those commandments. You failed and failed and failed, and the guilt of all your failures and your poor choices is dragging around with you everywhere you go, keeping you from soaring like an eagle. Your past sins are like an anchor that keeps you earthbound when your heart longs for more, to reach up to the sky, into the presence of God. How would you like to be free from your guilt? How would you like to be free from your guilt? Anyone here? The key word here is forgiven. Forgiven. In a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, they are all gone. And that's the gift of Adonai Yeshua the Messiah. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God who keeps giving us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah." We also read in Ephesians 1:7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the removal of trespasses, in keeping with the riches of His grace." You know, because of the work of Yeshua that He did in winning our freedom, we don't have to carry that guilt around with us. We can release it and we can be free. Like we were singing, free. Did anyone ever see the movie The Mission? Anybody here? Oh, we got one person. In the movie The Mission, it's a story of Captain Rodrigo Mendoza. And Mendoza was a slave trader in the mid-1700s. And Mendoza and his men would enter the jungles of Brazil and Ecuador to raid all the Indian villages and take prisoners, Indian prisoners, to sell as slaves. He went even so far as to raid all the Catholic missions to take prisoners from the Indians that were there. And then in a duel over a woman, Captain Mendoza actually kills his own brother, and he falls into remorse and depression, believing that God could never forgive him. Have you ever been there, in that place where you think, God will never forgive me for this? God will never forgive me for this. However, one of the priests from the mission, San Carlos, offers Mendoza a chance to seek penance. And just as Rodrigo Mendoza found forgiveness at the hands of those that he had violated, so we too can find forgiveness in the nail-scarred hands of the one we have violated and the one that we have betrayed. Just as the people he had sinned against cut his guilt away from him and set him free with forgiveness, so the God we have sinned against cuts our guilt away and sets us free with the forgiveness that he offers in his Son, Yeshua, the Messiah. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to drag your past around with you? Wouldn't forgiveness be a breath of fresh air? We can have that forgiveness. Yeshua, the Son, offers it to us. When we come to Yeshua, the Son of God, and let him set us free, we are free from guilt. We are free. You don't have to carry it around anymore. But there's another freedom that he offers to us. Freedom from consequence, or freedom from consequences. We all know that when the law is broken, there's consequences, right? Sometimes we escape the legal consequences of our misdeeds, but there are always consequences. Always. The guilt we've just talked about is a consequence of our sin. And there are others as well, but there's one consequence, no matter how hard our heart and how seared our conscience, we must all face. The ultimate consequence for sin is that of death. Not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death. The Bible teaches that we are all going to face judgment. Everyone in this room, we're going to face judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, judgment." This verse tells us that there is a consequence for our sin. And what is that consequence? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." And that's a severe consequence. According to the scriptures, the ultimate consequence for our sin is one that we can't pay. No matter how much money you have, you can't pay. But we do have to. We have to pay. That penalty for our sin has already been paid. Our account has been credited, and we are, as we saw a minute ago, no longer guilty. It's been paid. The key here is vicarious. Now, that's a big word, isn't it? Vicarious. It's a fancy word, but it just means done by one person substituting for another. In other words, substitutionary atonement. One life given in place of another. And Messiah has dealt the consequences for our sin. He paid, his life paid for our sin. All the consequences of our sin, everything to do with our sin, Yeshua paid for it. All of it. It's not that the ultimate consequence, it isn't required. It's that somebody already has paid it for you. So we all have to face the consequences, but Yeshua paid for it. He paid in our behalf, all of it. When he died upon a tree, he was receiving the consequences for my sin and for your sin. He paid the whole thing. And in John chapter 19, we read the story of the death of Yeshua the Messiah. And at the end, when he died, he called out, "It is finished. It is finished." But "it is finished" also means, when you study the word, it means it is paid. The debt is paid in full. Yeshua paid your debt in full. You don't owe anymore. Your debt is wiped out. Now, wouldn't it be nice? Some of us have debt. Anybody in debt? Maybe you debt from a car payment. Maybe it's a house payment. Maybe it's loans you've taken, school loans, whatever. You got debt. Wouldn't it be nice if someone said, "Here, give me all your debts." And he pays them and rips them up. You're debt free. It was paid for. And Yeshua did that. He paid all your debts once and for all. And you're free. When Yeshua died on that tree, he paid it in full. And we're free from the ultimate consequences of sin. Thank you, Lord. However, there still are consequences for our sin. When we choose to speed or run that red light, what's going to happen? We're still going to get a ticket. Let me tell you, I hate red light cameras. Who's ever been caught by a red light camera? I have been caught. Who else? Caught, caught, caught. Back there, caught, caught, caught. What's the consequences? I had to pay $150 because we think, "I think I can make that light, right? I think I'm going to make it." And we speed up to try to make it through the light, and bam, it turns red before you pass that line. And like maybe what, a month later? You get this thing in the mail. It even has a nice photograph of your car crossing over that line. Because you say, "I didn't do that. I didn't do..." That's your car. Yep. Oh, boy. In fact, last week or earlier this week, I sped up to try to make the light, and I'm pretty sure I made it in time, but I probably sinned, because as I passed through, I saw a big camera right there. So if I did get caught, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know, because I shouldn't do that. God is really dealing with me about that. You know, we get caught up with road rage and speeding all over the place, and we've got to slow down. Remember that? Slow down. You move too fast. You've got to make the morning last. What is that? Feeling groovy. Yeah. Anybody feel groovy here? Okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, besides that, sometimes we pay the consequence of our sin because we cheat on our taxes, and there's penalties for that. You get caught. When we defile our marriages and our marriage vows, we commit adultery, the trust in our relationship is broken. The marriage may still come to an end. That's a consequence. When we sin, there are going to be temporary consequences. That is the nature of life. You cannot set something into motion and expect that there's no repercussions from it. But Yeshua sets us free. He frees us from the ultimate consequence. We don't have to pay God for our sins. Thank you, Lord. We are made right with God. Eternal death and eternal separation from God are consequences that we don't have to face if Yeshua has set us free. In Yeshua, we have freedom. freedom from guilt, freedom from the past that sometimes haunts us. We're free from the ultimate consequences of sinful lives. Yeshua paid our debt. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Thirdly, free from accusation. We no longer have to work in fear or live in fear. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But now he has reconciled you in Messiah, Yeshua's physical body through death, in order to present you holy, spotless, and blameless in his eyes." How nice it is not to have to run and hide. How nice it's not to have to worry about what someone else will find out about you. How nice it would be to be free from all accusations and fear that your sins are going to be discovered. That would certainly be a freeing experience. How would it feel to be free from all accusation? Would you have a sense of relief? Would you have a sense of release? Would you feel as though a weight had been lifted from your shoulders? Would you feel free? How would you feel to know that there are no accusations that could be brought up against you at all? And there is a reason that Yeshua sets us free from accusation. It's because when we surrender our lives to him, let him have control of our lives, he makes us blameless. That's the key here. The word is blameless. Because of what Yeshua did by dying upon that tree, we are blameless before God when we know his son Yeshua. That word blameless means free of guilt. That's not subject to blame. Yeshua took care of the eternal consequences of all of our sins. But he did more than that. He also took care of all of our guilt. He satisfied the requirements of the Torah. When the law is broken, a death was required, and he paid that penalty for us. Therefore, not on our own, but through him, we are found free of guilt and not subject to any blame. We're free from accusation. And when a man is free from accusation, he's free from a great deal of fear that life offers. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." We can stand before God and our fellow man and not fear accusations. Now, being free of accusation doesn't mean that no one will accuse you. We're certainly going to face accusations of all sorts in this life. Many are well-deserved because of the things we've done in our past. Many are well-deserved. People have seen our sins. They've seen our mistakes. And they want to know why we now claim to be different. But that shouldn't threaten us at all. It should be an opportunity to share with them the transformation that Yeshua has made in your life. Like Alinda, many times you've talked about the life you've lived in the past, dealing drugs and all these other things. And if what if someone comes in the synagogue and say, "I know you, Alinda. You used to deal drugs. You used to do all that stuff on the street. You used to peddle to kids and this and that." But you know what? Nobody can accuse you anymore because Yeshua has set you free. And that goes for everyone in this room. Yeshua has set you free against all the accusations. And you know what? The devil comes to you all the time. And he tells you, "You know what? You've done so many bad things in your life. Look at all the things you've done. Look at all the lies. Look at all the hurt you've caused. Look at all the people that you have hurt." And he comes to accuse you all the time. But you know what you need to say? "Yeshua paid the price. He paid all my debt. You get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. You liar. Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord. But you know, when people accuse you sometimes, it gives you an opportunity to share with them what God has done in your life. If they say, Linda, why are you different? What has taken place? What are you going to say? Yeshua has changed and transformed my life. Thank you, Lord. And we don't have to fear any accusation. We're now free of guilt. We're no longer subject to blame. The count has been laid to rest, and we can live without fear of a hidden past being brought to light. It has been already been brought to light and been dealt with. I want to illustrate this with a little story. There once was a boy named Billy. You all know Billy, right? Yeah. You met him, right? So Billy's grandfather had a slingshot. And one day he asked his grandfather if he would teach him how to shoot the slingshot. So his grandfather took him into the backwoods and he began to teach the boy how to use the slingshot. And then the grandfather told Billy to go and practice for a while. So here was Billy, alone in the woods. And he kept missing everything he shot at. And Billy, on the way home to the house, he saw his grandfather's duck. And he decided, here, to try his aim with the slingshot just one more time. Billy took aim carefully, and he shot the duck. Hit his mark. The duck fell over dead. And Billy took this duck, and he buried it in the ground, trying to hide it. But as he looked up, there right by him was his sister Sally, standing there watching over him as he was trying to hide his sin, hide his deeds. And Sally and Billy went back into the grandfather's house. And as they did so, Billy told Sally, "Don't say anything about this." And Sally said, "Sure, no problem." And the kid's grandfather told Sally, "Sally, please go in the kitchen and help your grandmother wash the dishes." And Sally said, "Oh no, Billy is the best dishwasher anywhere. He loves to wash dishes. Don't you, Billy? Remember, Billy?" So Billy washed dishes that night. The next day, Billy's grandfather said, "Hey, Billy, let's go fishing today." But then Sally said, "Oh, Billy, let's go fishing today. Sally, your grandmother needs you to help around the house, so stay here and help her out." But Sally said, "You know, Billy really hates fishing, but he loves to do housework. Isn't that right, Billy? Remember?" So Billy stayed at home that day while Sally went fishing. This went on for a bunch of days. Sally blackmailed Billy into every unpleasant chore around the farm and out of every enjoyable opportunity. Finally, Billy had enough, and he decided that he was going to confess his crime to his grandfather. But much to his surprise, his grandfather said, "I know you killed the duck. I saw you kill it through the window in the kitchen. And I saw your sister Sally standing there watching you. But you know, I forgave you when it happened because I love you. I just wanted to know how long you would let yourself be your sister's slave. How long will we allow ourselves to be Satan's slave? The evil one's slave. That's why we need to confess it and let it go and live in the freedom that we have in Yeshua. You see, when you don't turn to Yeshua and confess your sins and allow him to cleanse you, we're slaves to our past and to our guilt, and we're susceptible to accusation. But once we become clean, we're free from accusation. We're no longer a slave to sin. And when we come to Yeshua, the Son of God, and let the Son set us free, we'll be free from guilt. We'll be free from the ultimate consequences of our sinful lives. And thirdly, we'll be free from accusation, the three areas we cover today. Next Wednesday, we're going to celebrate freedom in our nation. As I mentioned, 240 42 years. More than that, we're going to celebrate the sacrifice that was necessary to give us the freedom that we so deeply love. But there's a greater freedom than that of political freedom. There's a freedom that we can have in Yeshua the Messiah if we place our trust in Him. If we surrender our lives to Him. Because Yeshua bled and He died. He gave His life so that you and I could be free. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank You for the freedom that we have. Father, it's more than political freedom. It's more than freedom of another nation oppressing us in tyranny, Lord. Father, it's freedom in our spirit. It's freedom from accusation from the evil one. It's freedom from guilt, oh God, from our past. It's freedom, oh God, from consequences of our sin. We thank You that Yeshua paid our debt once and for all. Our slate is clean, Lord. We can stand before You someday and hear You say, "Well done, my faithful steward. And You I am well pleased." And Lord, we look forward to the ultimate freedom, someday being in Your presence, oh God. And Lord, may it be that we would use every opportunity of this freedom that we have in Yeshua to share what You have done in our lives in setting us free, that we might lead others to freedom. We bless You and thank You in Yeshua's name. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, isn't the Lord so awesome? Who thinks the Lord is awesome? Okay. What about, so some of you didn't raise your hand, you don't think the Lord is awesome?